We're going to start with the parasha of Vayigash. Vayigash, the beginning of Vayigash, is very interesting in the way that, how do Jews react to confrontations with non-Jews? Right? This is a very interesting question, especially in light of recent historical events. So if you're listening to this in 2017, that's good. If you're listening in 2025, then you won't know what I'm talking about. But for those of us who know now, you will recall that just a week or a week and a half ago, right, the United Nations reprimanded us for our illegal settlement activity. Okay, and the government of Israel has to decide one of two ways to respond. You can respond by like, okay, stay there, we know you're mad at us, et cetera, et cetera. Or you can respond like Bibi responded, which is interesting, in which he said, I don't care a word you say, you're not going to tell us what to do, and he actually lashed out at the American government. Okay, those are two very different ways of, you know, of relating to what we would consider a more powerful adversary, friend, you know what I'm saying? It's difficult to know. It's very complicated. But those are two general paths. Do you take the more submissive path and say, you know, I accept what you're saying, even if I'm not going to change my mind, but still, you're very important to me, blah, blah, blah. Or do you take the more, what I would call the confrontational path? And that's basically the question that Yehuda faces when he's in this almost impossible situation. He's in an impossible situation. He's actually, you would think that he's not in a position to have a confrontation or to be angry. But we'll see that according to the Midrashim, it's not exactly clear. So let's just do a little recap. Where are we? We know the story. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. The brothers don't know who he is. Okay, the brothers come down asking for food, and he gives them a hard time. And then he makes them tell them the whole story of who they are. And they actually mention, innocently enough, yeah, we have another brother. We left him at home. And Yosef says, oh, you have another brother? You're spies. I won't believe you until you bring the brother down. They bring the brother down. They bring Binyamin down. Yosef sees him. He cries. Okay? He sends them on their way. Everything's happy and good. Except, of course, he puts his Kiddush cup in Binyamin's backpack. Right? In bag. And the very end of Parshat Miketz, right? He sends his people after them. And he says, you guys stole my stuff. That's terrible. And they said, God forbid, whoever stole your stuff will be an Eved. And of course, they open the bags. They find it in Binyamin's bag. And they all tear Kriya. Did you notice that when you read it? They all tore Kriya. Kriya it's supposed to be a spontaneous response to a situation of anguish. I don't know if anybody, we don't do that anymore. We've sort of ritualized it. Nobody really tears their clothes anymore. And they say, oh, we'll all be avadim. They go back to Yosef and say, we're all your eved, et cetera, et cetera. And Yosef says, what do you mean? You're all my eved. Oh, the person who did the sin, he's the one that's, you know, you did the crime, you do the time. And that's Binyamin. I'll keep him. The rest of you are free to go. Okay, that's where we're at. And of course, who is responsible? Yehuda. Why is Yehuda responsible? What's that? Correct. Correct. Let's just look at that for a second because it's important. He is the one who said it. One second. No. When they had to leave. Here. Perek Mem Gimel. Let's look back at Perek Mem Gimel. Correct. Let's go back to, one second. Mem Gimel, you think Gimel?
Yeah.
Okay, V'yam Alav Yehuda. No, let's go back to Mem Gimel Aleph. Basically, they have come to their father like a month or 2 months or whatever before and said, Dad, we're running out of food. And he said, okay, go get more food. And they said, well, we have to take Binyamin. He said, no, you're not going to take Binyamin. No way. And I just want, it's worthwhile to mention when Reuven says, I'll bring him back. I'll take him. I'll take responsibility. What does he offer? What does Reuven offer? Do you remember? Let's go back a few more psukim.
I thought you said it was you.
To Lamed Zayin. Reuven first, a little before. Lamed Zayin. Mem Bet Lamed Zayin. Let's go back a few more psukim. Mem Bet Lamed Zayin.
I'll get my two sons.
Yeah. Vayomer Reuven el Aviv leimor. Et shnei banai tamit im lo avienu elecha. Right? I'll kill my own two sons if I don't bring Binyamin back to you. Tana'oto al yadi. give in my hands, v'ani ashivenu elecha. I'll give them back to you. What?
Well, you're allowed to make promises.
Yeah, you just have to keep them. Right, right. You know, like what kind of, like if you're like the grandfather, what kind of offer is that? If I don't bring back my, if I don't bring back your son, I'll kill your two grandchildren. You know, what, like what in the world, what does that refer to? It's a very interesting reference. Shnei banai tamid. Who has lost two sons? I saw this in Rabbi Dan mentions it. Who do we know who has lost two sons? Levi. Levi, no. Who has lost two sons that we know about? In the story.
No.
Not hard. Yeah, in the Chumash, we read about someone who has lost two children.
In Bereshit.
In this story. Hi. Right? Yehuda has lost two sons. Remember the story of Yehuda? What happened? Yehuda, it says, after they sold Yosef, Yehuda, there's this whole story of Yehuda, and he marries off his sons to Er and Onan to Tamar,
right.
And in the process of the whole story, his two sons die. Right? Yeah, yeah. He loses two sons. And that third son, he doesn't want to marry or to keep his word, and then he admits, whatever. Okay? So it's sort of a reference to, like, he lost two sons. I'll kill my own two sons if I don't commit. If I don't, you know, there's some kind of connection there. Okay? You remember? Okay. And so what does Yaakov say to that? Lamed chet. Vayomer lo yirei b'ni imachem. No way. Ki achiv mit. Okay, he's the only one left. Ukra'ahu ason baderech asher telchuba. Ukra'ahu ason baderech. Something terrible is going to happen to him. Okay. Beharadatem et seivati biyagon sheola. Very interesting and difficult to translate. Horadatem et seivati biyagon sheola. You will drag down my old age in anguish, Sheola, to Sheol. What does Sheol mean? Does anybody know what Sheol is? Sheol is hell. Do you have the English? Anybody have the English? What do you have at the end of 38? Okay, chapter Membet. Yeah. He said.
But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left. Should disaster befall him on the journey which he shall take, then you will have brought down my hoariness.
You'll brought down my
hoariness.
Seivati, my age, biyagon, with anguish.
In sorrow to the grave.
Sheol is right, to hell, to the grave. Okay? Yeah. Meaning, if you don't bring back Binyamin. Like, look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Lo kibel dvarav shel Reuven. He didn't say, Amar, b'chor shotehu zeh. This is my oldest one, he's crazy. Hu omer lahamit banav. He's going to kill his sons. V'chi banav him, below banai. And he's like, what do you think? They're his sons, so they're not my sons? He's going to kill his sons, who happen to be my grandchildren. What have we gained? No, thank you. Okay, meaning, what did Reuven mean? It's very difficult to know what he meant. Like, Reuven always is, there's a whole mahalach on Reuven, on Reuven's guilt, and the bed of Bilhah, etc., etc. Reuven's role is very interesting. Fine, so forget it. You're not taking Binyamin. So what happens? Ra'av kaved ba'aretz. Right? The famine is growing. There's no food. They're running out of food. So the dad goes to the pantry and he notices the stores are getting lower and lower and they don't have any sugar left and they're running out of flour. He says, guys, go get the food. It's so Israeli.
What part
of Israeli is to ignore the part that, like, I know what the problem is, but fix it anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's so like, hey, why don't you get food? And they say to him, what do you mean, why don't we get food? We told you I'm going to get food. Yeah, but I told you to get the food. You know what I mean? It's like very, everybody know what I mean? That it's like very Israeli to like ignore the problem and expect people to solve it anyway.
And they do.
What?
And they do.
And they do. Correct. I find in America, I don't know, Americans are not like that. Americans will say, we have this problem, we have to resolve the problem, what are we going to do about the sun thing, and let's work it out together. Like, Americans are very acknowledging the challenges, and let's find a solution. Israelis are like, solve this problem. I think it's very army-oriented.
Just
find
a way.
Right?
Right.
Right. I think it's very army-oriented. And I think that Americans, when they interact with Israelis in culture, they struggle with this very much. that there's just like, just solve the problem. You know what I'm saying? And like, what do you mean just solve the problem? Here's this problem. Let's work it out. No, you take care of it. You know, and until you get used to that, it's like really like, how do you want me to do it? Am I doing it right? Blah, 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 blah. No, just solve it. You know, it's always very interesting. Anyway, okay. Where am I? What am I up to? Gimel, right? Vayomer lav Yehuda lemor. So Yehuda says, Ha'ed ha'id banu ha'ish lemor. Sorry, we can't go until we have Binyamin. Im yeshcha pasuk dalit. Im yeshcha meshalechet achinu itanu, nerda v'nishvera lecha ochel. V'im encha meshalech lo nered. If you send Binyamin, okay, it's very interesting. He doesn't say Binyamin. What does he say?
Achinu.
If you send our brother, then fine. Okay. V'im encha meshalech lo nered. I don't want to see your face without achichem itchem. Okay, what's he standing? What message is? What's Yaakov's fear, and what's Yehuda subtly saying in the language? You understand what I'm asking? What's the answer? The answer is, what's Yaakov's fear?
That he doesn't treat him like a brother.
And therefore, what's going to happen?
He said, oh, that he won't care about him.
No, not just that.
Let anything happen to Yosef.
Right, he won't let him out of his sight because what happened to Yosef? I send Yosef to you for 10 minutes and he's gone. So do I know what happened? I don't know what happened. Is there some doubt in my, am I sure that he's dead? I think he's dead. Not entirely sure. He never really was comforted, never consoled. Do I know how he died?
No.
Not entirely. Do I have my suspicions?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think I'm gonna send this one, the only one left from Rachel? No way. Comes Yehuda and says, what does he say? Okay. Achinu. Mm-hmm. He's our brother. This is not that kid. This is not the person that we hate. He's our brother. And it's very, you know, and that's a very clear message. Dad.
So the question is, have they changed, or is Binyamin a different personality?
They've changed. What's changed them?
Binyamin is much less threatening. You'll see.
No. Why is Binyamin much less threatening?
Because he has all kinds of dreams and haughty ideas of ruling over them.
Or he didn't tell
and
them.
We don't really know.
Or he was smart enough to keep his mouth shut.
Sure, the truth is we don't know very much about Binyamin.
We don't know anything about Binyamin. Right. But it clearly, they must have. What changed? First of all.
They're watching their father in his grief.
Correct. And also, the story of Yehuda and Tamar is not there for nothing. Right? Yehuda and Tamar, the story of Yehuda is very much about Yehuda taking responsibility for his actions. Right? And deciding, am I going to be a victim of circumstance and allow circumstance to happen to me and oy vey and whatever, or am I going to take responsibility and suffer the consequences for what I've done? Now, what's interesting is, until now, he's never really suffered the consequences for what they did to Yosef. But we're going to see in the Parashat Vayigash, he really senses it. Okay? So, and therefore, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Yisrael. So, Yaakov says, Lama re'otem li lagid la'isha od lachem ach. Why did you tell them you had another brother? Vayomru. They all said, now it's all of them, Sha'ol sha'al ha'ish lanu l'mol l'adetenu le'mor. Ha'od avichem chai. Ha'yesh lachem ach. So the guy asked us, Vanagid lo api advarim ha'ila. We told him, Hayadah ne'da ki yomar ha'ridu et achichem. Like, he asked us a question, we told him an answer. Like, why did we tell him? Because, why not?
I always thought that when Yosef asked him if he had another brother, he was referring to himself. Like, was there another brother who disappeared? Like, I always thought he was referring to himself as when he was asking them to kind of see what their response was about, not necessarily.
They did answer, didn't they say? I'm pretty sure. They said,
yeah, they
one of Achiv Einenu.
Yes.
They did not lie, if I recall.
Yes.
No, referring to yourself.
Ah, Hayesh Lachem Av O Ach. And they said, meaning, you think.
The Ach was your sake. Yeah. Could be either.
Right, but it's left unclear.
It should have been two brothers.
They didn't mention Yosef. Yes, we have another brother. It doesn't say clearly, but do you have any other siblings? It doesn't say Yosef. I think Yosef intentionally didn't push and ask them, yeah, anymore, anybody else? And what they're going to say, no, we have nobody else, no other brothers. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't. What's he then going to say? Did you any brothers killed in child? What's he going to say? Is he going to, like, without, how can he ask without revealing that he already knows? Okay, so if he asks, do you have any other brothers? And they say, yes, we have another brother. Even if he's assuming about himself, then what? Like, we don't see, and we're going to see actually in this week's parasha, that they finally mention Yosef. Like, Yehuda finally mentions Yosef. So he asks him, what do we know? Pasuk Chet, Vayom Yehuda Yisrael Aviv, Shilcha Hanar Iti, Venakuma Venelecha, Venichia Venolamut, Gam Anachnu, Gam Ata, Gam Tapenu. Send the kid with me, because if we don't send the kid with me, we'll die. But then he says, Anochi A'arvenu, Miyadi Tevakshenu. I will, an Arev, what's an Arev? In no, not collateral. My collateral is a ravon, correct. An arev is a co-signer. You're an arev when a person signs on a mortgage, the bank needs somebody else.
Guarantor.
What?
Guarantor.
I will guarantee him. Okay. Miyadi tevakshenu, you will seek him from me. Imlo havi'otiv elecha v'itzakti lefanecha v'chatati lecha kol hayamim. Okay, and I will sin to you kol hayamim. Look at Rashi on chatati lecha kol hayamim. I will sin to you of you all of our days leolam haba. Now, this isn't a debt that I'm gonna when I die I'm gonna get out of. It's both in this world and the next world. Okay, and finally Yaakov says, okay, what can you do? Go. Let's now go into our parasha. Now with that guarantee in hand, you doesn't trouble because he promised. He didn't promise. He made a blood oath. He made an eternal oath that in this world and the next world, whatever that means. And now he's facing the prospect of not being able to return Binyamin. Okay? So they bring them back. Where are we? We are, let's set the scene. We are in the royal palace, the court of Yosef. Who's there? Who's standing there? In your mind, what are you seeing?
Yosef and his guard.
His entourage. Correct. It's exactly correct. Yosef is, like, think about it, in the royal courts. Or Chaim talks about this. Yosef is sitting there, and all of his, whatever, you know, his advisors and his PR people, all they're all sitting there in the court, and the brothers are brought in, and they're far away. Okay, they're back there. Okay, and then Yosef says at the very end, he brings them in, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what is going on? What did you do? I knew you were going to do this. And okay, when Yehuda says, what can we do? Let's go back to the very end of the last parasha, because it's a continuation of the psukim. Look at Tet Zayin. Okay, Yosef says, what are you doing? I knew it. You knew that I would know. How could you try to trick me? You guys are terrible. You're all in big trouble. Vayomer Yehuda, mano mar la'aduni, mani daber umani tzadak. You should just know, by the way, that language of mani daber, mani tzadak. What should we say? Mani tzadak. There's no way for us to justify. How can we justify our actions? You see where I am?
What parak?
Right before the end of the parak. Parak mem dain pasuk, mem dalet pasuk tet zayin. I know I'm all over the place. But. Mem dalet tet zayin. You might notice this language in when we say slichot. That's why I wanted to point it out. Man omar mani tzadak. Right? We can't justify ourselves. Right, he has found the sin of Elohim Matzah. What does that mean? Elohim. What are they talking about? What do they really mean? Everybody see where I am?
Yeah.
Okay. Mem Dalid Tet Zayin. Vayomer Yehuda. He's talking to Yosef. Manu Mar La Adoni. What should we say? What can we say? Manu Daber Umanit Tzadak. What can we say and how can we justify? Elohim matza et avon avadecha. God has found the sin of your servants. What's he saying?
He's saying he's admitting that what they did when it sold Yosef.
Right. Correct.
Finally having to face it.
Correct. Meaning, like this whole thing with this crazy guy, there's no explanation for it. Yeah. Right. Yes, they found the cup in Yosef's in Binyamin's bag. Did the Binyamin, and they're on the way back, they're like, Binyamin, what the hell? Like, how could you do this? And what does he say?
I did.
He swears up and down that he didn't do it. And so do you believe Binyamin or don't you believe him? The answer is, one second, this isn't the first time crazy things have happened. We all had money in our bags and we didn't know what was going on. So something crazy is going on. Something ridiculous is going on. So they believe Binyamin. So if they believe Binyamin, then what do they think? They've been framed. How do we justify this? The answer is, we know why we've been framed. We know exactly why this is happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing about that we will pay for what we've done. And we all believe that to some degree. You know, that we have the sense that what goes around comes around, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways, and it's not always today or tomorrow, but that we have to account for the things that we've done, especially the terrible things that we've done. Ha'elohim matza et avon avadecha. God has found the sin. And he's so, like, it's so interesting that on one level, on the simple level, he's saying to Yosef, like, God has found the truth. You got us. But he's really not saying that at all. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says exactly that. Okay? Look at Tetzayin, Ha'elohim matza. Yodim anu shelo sarachnu. We know that we didn't sin. Avam me'et ha'makom niyata la'vilanu lezot. But God has brought us to this point. Matza ba'al chov makom ligbot shtar chovo. Right? The debtor found a way to make us pay our debt. You see it? Yeah, you saw it? Okay. It's so deep. And it's so beautiful when you see a pasuk and you see that there's this, like, this external conversation and a deeper conversation, a deeper realization. Now, Yosef does not know that he means that yet. Right? Yosef doesn't
know.
Well,
he didn't do anything.
Right. Well, he's not. And Yosef has no intention of Yosef, actually, one second. Yosef clearly intends on keeping him at this point. Why? Why does Yosef want to keep him? To punish their father? We've discussed this in past years, haven't we?
Yeah.
For sure.
Because he wants him to be his assistant. Isn't there an idea that he's worried that I'll do
right. Correct. He doesn't know all the things that are happening. He doesn't know in the background. Is your brother still alive? Do you have a brother? I.e., have you killed him yet? Have you got rid of him the way you got rid of me? That's one very strong possibility. Let me see him. I want to know that he's alive. Bring him here. They bring him there. As soon as they get him back, okay, sooner or later, when he grows up, when Yosef turned 18, they got rid of him. So when dad dies, we'll kill Binyamin. Okay, we're not going to do it to dad again, but he's old. What can you do? And as soon as he's there, he's gone. Yosef, bring him to me. That seems the agenda. I'll keep him. What, you're going to go back to your father without him? Okay, so what? Didn't bother you the last time.
Yeah, but surely it bothers him what his father's response is going
to
be.
We've talked about this too. Tracy, you remember?
No.
According to many modern thinkers, it's unclear that Yosef knew what his father was thinking at all.
Imagine, have heard that.
What?
Possibly his father. His father might have been in on the whole selling to slavery thing.
In on it. Instigator of it. Really? You weren't here? You were here. That's new to you.
I remember that.
Go back on the tapes. Right? What happened to Ishmael?
Yeah,
who sent him away?
His father.
His father sent him away. What happened to Esau? You've never heard this? You have to go back. I'll find you this year. We've definitely talked about this before. What? We're going through like themes so quickly. We did the theme of Reuven. There's like so much to talk about here. What's that?
I just heard it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you've heard it a few weeks ago? You just heard about it? No, I know. You never heard this idea, though? You never heard this idea?
Right. I don't remember ever hearing it.
Okay.
I'm getting old.
No, there's a very classic question. The very classic question is, why did Yosef, when he got to Mitzrayim, not, like, fine, when he got to Mitzrayim, he couldn't do anything, but as soon as he becomes the second in command, he can do anything he wants. Send a letter, hey, Dad, I'm here. Very, very classic question. And there are different answers to that question. There's the Ramban's answer, that he wanted to fulfill his dreams. There's other answers. So one possible answer suggested by very, very modern Pashtanim is... Like, this comes out of the school of the Gush... School of thought, Har Tzion, Lachem Liebtag, but he gets it from his Rav Yoel bin Nun and Rav Meidan, really great Gaonim in Tanakh. It's a very, very different way of thinking, just very wonderful, beautiful ideas, beautiful, beautiful ideas. So it is, how do we know that Yosef thought that yet didn't know Yaakov was in on it, or knew that Yaakov was not in on it? Who sent?
He thought that he was in on it.
Yes. No, Yaakov was in. We know Yaakov was ripped apart. But Yosef doesn't know that. Who sent Yosef to go meet the brothers, go spy on the brothers when they sold him down to slavery? Who sent him?
His father
sent him.
He had such a good relationship with his father, and that was part of, and he knew that they were jealous. You know, he was parading their coats.
You could forget that after years.
Sold it to slavery or thrown in a pit, and like, that's it's a there are problems with the theory, big problems with it, but there's problems with every theory. We don't know. Okay?
And he's not giving his father the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But
that's a problem.
But also what we see is that their guilt is so close to the surface.
Their guilt, of course. We saw it. We see it also as soon as the first thing happens to them and they're thrown in jail and suspected as spies, the brothers say to each other, we knew this was going to happen to us. Like, it's always there. How could it not be there? Every time they look at their father, it's there. Mm-hmm. Remember, he would never be consoled. So he's walking around in mourning clothes for his entire life. Literally, he wears black all day. Why is he wearing black? To remember his son. There's a big picture of Yosef, you know what I'm saying? Right above where he sits, like, you know, eats dinner. And before he sits down, has a cup of coffee. And like every single day, like, it's right in front of their face all the time. Like, you know, and they can never say anything. Ever. Now we're up to our parsha, okay? Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Parsha Vayigash. This is all by way of introduction. Meaning Vayigash is in the middle of the story. You can't just start in the middle. Okay. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. What does that mean?
He approached.
Yehuda approached. So I set you up, right? You have this whole theater. Yehuda comes close. How close? How close? It must be significant. Okay, until now, you're speaking, and I remember, like, you know, in the Pharaoh's court, and you see in the movies, so you're behind, you're standing back, right? And the way to talk to the Pharaoh is you sort of have to, like, say it in front of everyone. So when Yehuda approached, there must have been something going, how could Yehuda approach, right? If Yehuda would approach, what would happen? In the normal course of events, a guy is talking to the second in command of the king, and he starts walking forward. What? Whoa. Okay? So what must have happened?
He was called?
Yosef asked him to come forward? On his own?
Wow.
How does it sound from the Pasuk? Right, he comes on his own. But he must have asked. He said, Your Honor. Right. May I approach? And of course, all the people looking at him say, all the guys around say,
no way.
Because why? Who? You have this ruffian, this God only knows who it is, from some foreign land, right? Who, you know, and our beloved ruler. Would we ever allow that? Would the Secret Service ever allow that to happen?
But there's a history. They were there already. They were there.
What are they?
I'm sure it was big news there. There was this guy that came, and the cop and the brother, and like, he's not new to them.
No, the cop and the brother is now. What happened the old time? What happened the last time? These brothers came. Is that big news? Is the brothers coming big news? What?
Millions of
thousands of people are coming all the time, and they want food, and they pay for the food, and they leave. So these guys, yeah, it was like a little weird.
Yeah, but these are huge guys. They look different.
What?
And they were helpful.
Like, it's weird. Like, telling them to bring their brother, like, that's odd. He won't give them food till they bring their brother.
Yes, that was odd. Meaning what? What does he say? What did he say I suspect them of? What does he say he suspects them of?
Being spies.
He suspects them being spies. They're suspected spies standing in front of him. Can you imagine President Donald Trump with the people he thinks are KGB officers and saying, we'd like to talk privately with the president. And what? I said it on purpose. You could imagine that. He's like, what would any normal president? What would the Secret Service say if a suspected spy was standing in front of us and they're all in front of them? And he said, we'd like to talk privately, please. And the president is like, yeah, sure, no problem. What would the Secret Service say? No way, no way, no way, no. Right? You want to talk privately? Well, fine. We'll be here. You stand there. Somehow, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. And Yosef permitted him to come close. So if you think about it, now instead of this like diplomatic conversation,
comes more personal.
Much more personal. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayomer Bi Adoni. Be pleased, my master. Yedaberna abdecha davar ba'azne Adoni. Let me speak in your ears. See how it says, please, I need to tell you something. And do not be mad. Because you are like Paro. We're going to read the Psukim and then come back and ask a few questions. But before we do that, the first question we have to ask is, like, why specifically did Yehuda come forward? The answer is, because he's the one that made the deal. He's the one on, held on, you know, but we know this. Yosef doesn't know this. Adoni sha'al, where am I? Okay. Et abadav lemor, hayesh lechem av oach. You asked us, you have a brother, you have a father. Vanomer el Adoni, yesh lanu ab zaken, v'yele zikunim katan. We have an old
father.
Yele, a small, yele zikunim, a child of his old age. V'achiv met. And his brother is dead. And his brother is dead. Is that true?
No.
But he doesn't know.
Is that true?
He also says his brother. He doesn't say our brother.
Right. Okay. Why does he lie? If you're Yosef, what are you thinking now?
Doesn't want to go down that road of questioning.
No, he does want to go. Achiv met. If you're Yosef and you hear those words.
Yosef.
Yeah, if you're Yosef and he says, V'achiv
met. That's their cover story.
That's their cover story. What did he say? I'm trying to remember. What did they say the first time?
It's the most convenient way to explain his lack of appearance.
Did they mention? One second. I'm just trying to look back. Bear with me. Okay. When the brothers came. First time. Okay. Look what they said. They said, I'm just going to read it for you. We're not going to look together. Achim, shnei masar achim anachnu. We're 12 brothers. Bnei ish echad. Hinei hakaton et avinu hayom. Okay, one is with our father. Va'echad einenu. Einenu.
Disappeared.
He's gone. Now he doesn't say that. What does he say?
Dead.
Now he says he's dead. Look at Rashi. How could he say that? Achiv met. He was afraid. Well, hey, that's why he lied. Amar, he said, "Im Omar lo shehu kayam." If I said he's alive,
you tell us to bring him.
Yo Omar, have you? He'll tell me to bring him. See, I don't know what to do. So he lied. Not a good idea. Okay, anyway, where are we? V'yivatehu levado. Okay. V'tomer el avadecha hovidu elai ve'asima eini alav. Bring him down to me. V'asima eini alav. What is that? I will place my eyes on him. What does that mean? Yosef said, you said to us, bring him here so I can place my eyes on him. Meaning what? Is that what the words v'asima eini alav means? I will see. Of course, it means in Peshat, it means so I can see him. But it means something more.
To watch over him.
Oh. Everybody's speaking in code.
Somebody else
what? Somebody else said that?
Somebody else said that. Tracy.
No, I don't think so.
Tracy
said
that?
Right. Meaning, everybody's speaking in code. Right. Yosef, you know what I'm saying? We don't have, there's no record, by the way, of Yosef saying these words, V'asima eini alav. So bring him down to me. But he must have said it. V'nomer el Adoni, lo yuchal hanar la'azob et aviv, ve'azab et aviv, v'amet. I can't. Because if he leaves his father, the father will die. Vatomer el avadecha, im lo yered achichem hakaton itchem, lo tosifun lirot panai. Fine, no problem. If you don't bring him, then don't come back. Vayehi, what?
How could he just disregard the fact that they said that his father will die if they take him away?
If they take him away permanently.
Oh, permanently. Not
also, plus what's the answer? If Yosef, these are the two possibilities. Either Yosef says, he'll be all right, we're going to, you know, he'll be fine, I'll send him back. Or he thinks, he didn't care about me. So this all this sob story about losing sons obviously didn't bother him before. Why should it bother him now? That's a possibility.
When
we went back to Dad and we told him what you said, so Dad said, go get food. And we said, lo nuchal aredet. We can't go. Im yesh achinu hakaton itanu v'yaradna. If we have our brothers with us, then we'll go. Ki lo nuchal lirot pnei ha'ish v'achinu hakaton inenu itanu. Because we cannot come without our brother. It's interesting. He's telling him in private, seemingly in private, very long story. Very unusual story. Vayomer avdecha avi elenu. Chaf Zayin. And our father said, Atem yedatem kishnayim yalda li ishti. You know that my wife, who's my wife? Rachel, bore two children for me. Vayetzea echad me'iti. Va'omar ach tarof taraf v'lo re'itiv adhena. One of them is gone, and I said, meaning Yaakov said, ach tarof taraf. He must have been killed, and I've not seen him until now. If you'll take this one also from away from me, and something terrible happens to me, we've seen that phrase before. Then you're like, I'll die in anguish, blah, blah, blah. I'll go to the grave in my old age, just in total anguish and pain. What did Yehuda add now? According to our Rav Meidam Shah, what did Yehuda add now? That's never been mentioned before. What did Yehuda add now? Bombshell.
His father thinks that he was killed.
You didn't say that before. You said ha'echad enenu. You never told us where he was. Now you tell me Dad thinks I'm dead? Dad thought I was killed? I was murdered by, I was mangled by some wolf or whatever? You never told me that.
And also, you always wondered why Dad didn't come find him. Maybe that's why he didn't
care. Right. He thought he was dead. Okay. Ve'ata, kaf lamed, kivoi al avdecha avi v'hanar enenu utanu, v'nafsho kshura b'nafsho. Okay, his soul, when I come back, without Binyamin, his soul is connected to his soul. When he sees that the nar is not there and he dies, and he's dead, it's going to be too hard. I'm translating loosely, right? You will bring, you'll cause terrible anguish to our father. Why? Ki avdecha arav et hanar me'im avi le'mor. Avdecha meaning who? Your servant, arav. That we had that word? Guaranteed the safety of the child, saying, "Im lo avienu elecha, v'chatati le'avi kol hayami." When I will sin, lamed gimel. This is the crux. Va'ata. Now, yeshivna avdecha tachatanar eved la'adoni. Let your servant sit, i.e., as a slave, instead of the nar. V'hanar ya'al imechad. Binyamin will go back, and who will stay in his place?
Yehuda.
Me. How can I go back to my father without the nar? I can't, lest I see the terrible thing that will happen to my father. Next pasuk. Why not? What is it? There's one of two possibilities that Yosef cannot control himself. Why can't Yosef? What's the breaking point?
He realizes that his father really did, has always loved him.
That's one possibility. Correct. One possibility is, everything I thought, that's the Rabbi Dan possibility, everything I thought about my father is absolutely wrong. I was going to take Binyamin away. I was going to keep him. I was going to protect him because they was going to kill him anyway, and he didn't really love us, and it's all Leah versus Rachel, the whole sibling rivalry, that whole, gone. It's all gone. Everything I thought is not true. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility?
He does repentance on what happened.
That's the other possibility. The other possibility has nothing to do with all of that sibling rivalry, but all of a sudden he doesn't know this. And now Yehuda is finally saying to him, who was the one that instigated the whole thing in the first place? It's unclear who instigated, but whose idea was it to sell him into slavery? Yehuda. Well, Yehuda, we learned back in Vayeshev, Yehuda says, we're not going to kill anybody. Right? Yehuda took the cheap and easy way out. We're not going to kill anybody. All we're going to do is sell them to slavery. Like that, it's a process of development and growth, taking the cheap and easy way out over and over and over again. And now, Yehuda, Dad, we tried. What can I do? Meaning, he doesn't know how Yehuda convinced Yaakov to send Binyamin. He doesn't know. He knows Binyamin's here. Comes Yehuda close. He approaches, and he says to him, I guaranteed, I made a promise. And now, not only did I make a promise, I'm willing to follow up that promise by trading myself for my brother.
This is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the ultimate repentance. When you're put in the same, what does Rambam
right.
say? What does Rambam say?
You have to be in the same position.
Right, you're in the same position, and you have to make different choice. He could easily say, wow, what are you going to do? I'm like, brother number two, problem solved. But he doesn't. And he offers himself.
Except for this earth about his two sides.
What's that? That was Reuben. That was Reuben.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
One second.
No, but that person accepted it.
Says the Midrash. Lo yachol litapek. Yosef could not litapek. He couldn't hold himself back.
That was way back.
Why? Amar Rav Chia bar Abba, kol dvarim she'ata koreish diber Yehuda liYosef b'fnei Achav. Okay, everything you read, okay, diber Yosef b'fnei Achav, ad she'at magi, until you come to the following, v'lo yochol Yosef liitapek. Yosef could not control himself. Okay, it was piyus liYosef, upiyus leAchav, upiyus leBinyamin. It was consolation to Yosef and to the brothers and to Binyamin. Piyus liYosef, it was a consolation to Yosef. Ru'u each notein nafsho al banea shel Rachel. Look how he gives himself over. This is exactly what we just said. The Midrash says, Yosef is consoled finally because he sees that Yehuda is finally willing to give himself over, sacrifice himself for the children of Rachel. Piyus le'echav, okay? The brothers are now consoled because until then, Yehuda was the leader. Some leader he is. He gets in trouble and then he runs away. Remember, right? As soon as things don't go well, Yehuda vayered Yehuda me'etechav. So now finally, he sacrificed himself to his brother. Binyamin is consoled. K'shem shenatati nafshi alecha, ken ani notein nafshi al achecha. Just like I would give myself, just like I would give my life for you, I give my life for your brother also. Meaning, I would do anything to get Yosef back. I can't bring him back, but I would if I could. Right, that's a... very powerful. One second. There's one more midrash I have to share with you. One more midrash. Here we go. One second. Amar Rav Brecha b'shem Rav Levi. Rav Brecha said to Yehuda, Amar le Yehuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's God said to Yehuda, Ata hishpalta av atzmecha, lifnei achicha hakatan mimcha, b'shvil achicha hakatan shebekatan, you lowered yourself, i.e. you sacrificed yourself on the for the sake of your brother, when the time comes to bring the korbanot, the mishkan, you'll be the first one to bring a korbanot. There's another midrash that says almost the same thing. Okay, the other midrash says the same thing is the idea that where is the Beit HaMikdash? Beit HaMikdash was in Yerushalayim, which was divided between two chalakim, two portions. Anybody know what were the two portions, two shvatim that bordered on Yerushalayim? Yehuda and Binyamin. Right? Leah and Rachel and Yehuda and Binyamin. Why? Because you were willing to sacrifice yourself for your brother. That's where the Mikdash belongs. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, I didn't get to the last point. I have to stop here because I have to run. Okay, the last point, there are a number of Midrashim. If you look in the first Rashi, I'll give you homework if you're interested. Okay? If you look in the very first Rashi of Vayigash, Rashi on Kicha Mocha Kiparo brings a number of different. See Rashi on Pasuk Yudchet Kicha Mocha Kiparo, very unusual language. You are like Paro. Rashi brings a few perishim. The first perish is you're as strong as Paro. But then there comes a bunch of different ones. you're as wily as Paro. You're as not trustworthy as Paro. And the last one is, a very interesting line of Midrashim. If you look at the last one, Davar Acher, the very last line in the Rashi. You see it, Davar Acher? The very last one, it's like a one line. Im takni teini, if you try me, harog otcha ve'et adoncha. I'll kill you and Paro. Woo! Didn't see that before. Right? That Yehuda approached quietly in order to threaten him. And said, you are underestimating our power and our might. And if you push us too far, you're going to be sorry. And there's a long midrashim, crazy midrashim, that illustrate this point. And just illustrate the point of, it's like, he's saber rattling. He's saying, don't start. You don't like Rashi alludes to with the midrashim. But says Rashi, in every conversation, in every diplomatic discussion, there is the text and the subtext. And it can be interpreted in a number of different ways. He says, Ki chamocha, he speaks unclearly because he doesn't want him to think, to understand that he wants him to think on the one hand that he's submitting, but on the other hand, to understand, while I submit, understand there's a line beyond which I'm not going to go. Don't push me too hard. Because if you do, we'll destroy your country. And the Midrash says explicitly, like crazy stories. It's both in the Midrash Avachir, which is like some crazy Midrash, and it also appears in Bereishit Rabbah. Okay? I'm going to bring my brother back. I said I would. I'm going to do it no matter what. Don't try me. There's a line beyond. I can't go. I got to stop here. What? Right. Correct. We are more powerful than you think.